listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kalula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
What's up, Hollywood? Wake up, Hollywood! This is your host of the most, Nikki Kalula. We're going to jump right into this episode, and we have a wonderful actress, singer, songwriter, Miss Emily Coop. How are you, Emily? Can you hear us?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
We're good. We're good. The headphones may be easier. I don't know if they, because you may...
I think you're frozen, unfortunately.
You're hearing a little bit of a delay? Or...
Oh, no.
What's going on? Hold on, we're kind of, your connection's a little bit weird, but all right, we're going to jump right into this. You hail all the way from Melbourne, Australia, correct?
That's right, yeah.
And you, when did you move out to Los Angeles?
I moved out here like 9 years ago. It's crazy.
Wow. So tell me what that experience was like, because I've been to Australia twice, I love Australia, but I can't imagine packing up all your things and just saying, all right, I'm going to just try this and roll the dice. And coming all the way to LA, tell me what that experience was like for you first.
It was definitely pretty scary. I mean, I was super young. I won the green card lottery, was like, I'm just gonna go for my dreams. And when you're so young, like you don't really have any ties back home as well. So I was like, I'm just gonna do it. And if I didn't renew my activate my green card within 6 months of winning it, I would have lost it. And it's so hard to get a visa here. I'm just going to. And yeah, it's been such a journey of self-discovery since then, I think. So, yeah.
And did you move? Everybody usually moves, they go to Hollywood. They always move to Hollywood first. Did you move to Hollywood, or did you find somebody here that was like a contact that kind of steered you in the right direction?
I knew one person. It was a woman called Capelia Tingley, actually. Her daughter, Freya Tingley, is an actress. And I think since she's moved back to Sydney, I think she's still acting. I'm pretty sure she is. But she's like a coach, like an acting coach. So I pretty much paid a bunch of money for her to be my mentor. And like I stayed with her when I first got here and kind of got up and running ever since. And like, it's been a series of like moving a bunch, you know, dating a bunch of different people, having a bunch of jobs, like just honestly such a rat race in terms of just like running around the wheel, trying to keep my head above water. But I finally feel like in the past, I mean, every day, every week, it gets better. Like even today, you know, I had a pretty good day, like a good milestone day, but even just things coming my way and attracting great people and opportunities. And, you know, just raising my vibration so that I'm in those circles and, you know, like, yeah, I feel so grateful at where I've come from when I first got here as like a scared little kitten, you know, in LA.
Right.
So, but it's all been my own persistence and resilience of not giving up and continuing to have my eye on the prize, which was acting, music, but also even the vision I have for my own life personally and business-wise and financially out of those things. So I think I've always known what I've wanted, to be honest with you.
And it's also, it's like, LA is kind of a big pond, you know, like in the grand scheme of things. So it's like, it's easy to kind of like think things are going to happen right away in this city. And it just, it doesn't give you that right away. When you move here, it's like, there's a little bit of a transition and there's a little bit of like getting your footing, you know, there's a little bit of that kind of like rite of passage. Tell me what was that kind of like moment where you're like, okay, I could stay here. This is like where I love this city and why I love this city.
That's a really good question. I think, to be honest, I was never quite sure I would remain here until I became a citizen, just because at any point my life could be uprooted if I lost my green card. So nothing's ever for sure. Although a green card in hindsight is pretty stable, but now I'm a citizen, it's like, oh my God, like even if I, by choice, I can always, I'll always have a place to live in America. So right. Everything I've built, all my friendships, relationships, business, acting things, music things, can't be taken away from me, no matter what I do. Even if I accidentally kill someone on in a car, that was always my fear. I was like, what if I accidentally hit someone in my car? Of course, accidental, and like I went to jail, or like, you know, something happened. Like, I could still remain in this country. Whereas,
that's a crazy thought. You're like, what if I hit someone and kill them in my car? I could still be in America.
I know, but like, it would stop. If you ever have a criminal record, it could stop you from getting your green card being renewed. Or I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure it would, you know, it'd be a big, uh-oh, like, what is this person up to? So, right. Like, it was, now I can kind of be a little more reckless. Although in my, you know, early 20s, I was always a little reckless, but like, I was always scared to protest or like do things that were controversial for the fear of that. Oh, you know, right. Should always be ethical or whatever. But yeah, I would say that was when I could finally have a sense of relief of like, fuck, like
right.
I'm safe. And I think another moment was, I don't know, like even when I had this Chris Isaak gig opening up for him last year, and I think that was like, fuck, like I'm actually sorry. I don't know if I can swear on this show, but
I swear like crazy, so don't worry. Yes.
Okay, good. Because I'm like,
fucking shit and all the four letter words.
Oh, great. I did an interview thing last week, and they're like, oh, you have to bleep out your fuck. So I was like, oh no. And they told me not to, and I just can't help it. I think it's just right. Being an Australian. I just say fuck a lot, but I'm gonna stop saying it. So I was trying to stop saying it, but. Oh my God, what was I even saying? But sigh, sense of relief. That Chris Isaak gig was like, you know, not only hopefully I think I'm good enough, but the world is viewing me as good enough to open up for such a big act. And sure, right. He's an older guy, but like, that means like, okay, I'm good enough. And I shot a lead in a feature film, like, this still hasn't come out yet, but I'm good enough. Like, I deserve to be here. And just synchronicity of things are lining up in my favor financially, you know, relationships, friendships, community. I just feel blessed, honestly. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Sense. Well, let's go way back. What was the moment of zen that made you realize you wanted to be an artist? Was it music first? Was it acting first? Was it a combination of both, like a musical? What was it that made you kind of know, like, oh, this is the life I want to pursue?
You know, I think the earliest memory I have of doing any of this was, I remember like I was 4 years old, and my dad was like, oh, can you sing? And like, and I would sing a note, you know, I remember at home in my parents' bedroom. I was like, can I sing? La, la, la. Look, I can sing. La, la, la. And dad's like, oh, you have a strong voice. So he put me into singing lessons, violin lessons. And that was my first introduction to art in terms of being an artist, singing, violin. In hindsight, it was great because apparently playing the violin is very good for ear training because right. There's no frets. It's by ear. So I've been told I have a very good ear, which I believe is very true. Like, I'm good at sharps and flats, and like I can really articulate that. Also playing keyboard, I can really visualize the keys. Anyway, so that was useful. If I ever have kids, I'll probably get them to learn violin for that reason.
That's a hard one to start on. I feel like violin and drums are the hardest instruments for a parent to just listen to their kids. It's like, where, you know what I mean? It's just like, it's so rough in the beginning. And drums too, it's like, it's loud and it's not always, it's hard.
At least with drums these days, I feel like you can get like
headphones.
We both jumped out. But yeah, at least these days you can get electronic drums. Maybe even electronic violins, like these days, which is good. Or like have a separate outhouse where, you know, get the kid to practice, whatever. But that was music. And then I'd say with acting, I did improv class in primary school, and that set me off into being, oh my God, I love making people laugh. Right. That was such a high, like to get that validation. I think I just always wanted validation. Like, as an ego thing, insecurity. Oh my God, like, people are noticing me and people have a positive reaction to what I'm doing. Like, that's been really nice. So,
I grew up in classical music. So, I started singing in a children's chorus, and I was singing in music stuff. So, like, for me, it was like there was something about like being in a group and just working towards something where it was, oh, this is kind of fun. It's not work. It's like playful. It's like you're just kind of like, you know, creating art, and it wasn't work. It was always just like, oh, this makes sense. Did you, and when did you start playing guitar?
You know, I think I was also like five, like maybe seven or eight. My dad gave me a book, and he's like, I pretty much taught myself, and like I would have to show him the lesson to complete it, and he would like sign it. It was cute.
That's awesome.
It was cool. And yeah, I did the beginner, like basics, 1, 2, 3 books, whatever. So that's how I learned guitar, was the these basic books.
Did you ever take lessons for singing or anything or acting? Like, did you take a more serious, you know, role and wanting to get better?
Yeah. Singing, I took lessons as a kid for sure. We joined this school called, me and my brother joined this school called National Music School in Nunawading or something, and, you know, back in Melbourne. And I remember, like, with singing, I was always very good. Like, I was always one of the top people. Like, I was always in tune and whatever. So that was really cool. And with acting, yeah, I remember I did this school called Bright Stars when I was a kid. Just like a big group, you know.
Right.
You sign up, and then there's acting, music, singing, like dancing classes all under the same umbrella. And my dad would drive me around to these things. I think acting was one of them, but the classes weren't that good. I mean, and I did classes at a place called Tafto when I was a teenager. I won this course called Hollywood Immersive when I was 16. So that was my first taste of Hollywood. So I blame my dad.
In Australia. In Australia. They're like, here's your first taste of Hollywood in the land down under. They're like,
yeah, exactly. And it was this massive course where it was an immersive 2-week experience in a mansion. So it was not really giving you the Hollywood experience. It was more like the celebrity experience, to be honest. And it was a little diluted in terms of my, you know, realistic expectations of Hollywood. So I think I came across going, like, anything below this is like beneath me. But then it's like, I wish they, you know, had, I wish I would have learned. I've had to learn the hard way of how to be a working actor, which is you have to have unless you come from money, you have to have a 9-to-5, and right. You need to learn how to operate and support yourself while auditioning for co-stars, like guest stars, like indie films, and building your resume up in a very small level. Like, you don't just become a series reg unless you're like a teenager or you just luck out. So right. The 99% of people, more than that, 99.999% of people have to do it
I think that's really good, because it teaches you how to do the hustle. It teaches you humility. It teaches you that you're going to learn in so many different environments, and to do the thing, you'll be able to do it in any environment when you can learn at every level. You know what I mean? So there's some people that, like, they get a big TV show early on or a big movie, and then nothing ever gets to that same level because maybe they start partying, or maybe they just burn bridges with managers or whatever. And it's like, it's really hard to get back to that place. But when you kind of like work up to that place, it's way more consistent. I find, like, you kind of like build a career that way. And it just takes a lot longer to slow burn. But it's like, once you do it and you're doing it, it's like you're doing all the things. So if somebody had to make you choose music or acting, what would you choose? The tough one.
This is a very tough choice. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I remember at one point I was pursuing acting, music more, and acting fell apart, and, well, like, back in Australia. And I think I love them both in different ways. I think, in a sense, maybe I'm more naturally gifted at music, just because, like, I don't know. Like, I've always been able to sing and write songs and guitar, and, like, that's just a no-brainer. Acting, I've had to really work hard at it, but I do think I can. I am a good actor, a really good actor. I can be a really, really good actor. But, yeah, like, I think it's like, what do people resonate with more? Maybe music, but I do love doing both, and I think I'm a solid actor. And I think I could hold a film and hold a series for sure. Like, I'm smart enough to be able to do that. So, yeah. Like, 'cause it is intelligence, isn't it? If you're smart, then you can take the right classes and do the right things to become a good actor. Like, right.
And I think one sometimes can feed the other. Like, I think one of the things that's great about art is, like, you learn one creative process, it feeds into another creative process, even if they're completely different. So I'm always about, like, exploring all creative processes just to get better at the thing, you know what I mean? Whatever that you're most passionate about. But let's play something first. What do you want to play us first?
Oh, man. What do you, you mean, like, from YouTube, right?
Yeah, yeah. Which song do you want to showcase first? Man.
Your
choice.
You know, let's do On and On, just because I just put that single out on like about a week ago. So that's my latest one. Exciting. So yeah.
All right, here's On and On by Emily Coop.
Yay.
Oh, what? Oh, we don't have that one? How do we not have that one?
Oh, you know why? I think because it wasn't out when I messaged you guys.
All right, you know what? Let's choose another one and then I'll send Sam the other one. What do we have? What do you have?
I can't remember what I sent you guys. Just choose one. I don't know.
I got it. Hold on. Let me see. I've got... Let's just do the first link. It doesn't have a name.
Perfect. We'll
let's do the first link, Sam. We'll do the first song. We'll figure out which one it is after we play.
Perfect.
That's awesome. Very nice song. Very kind of a Katy Perry roar kind of vibes. I hear that same progression.
Yeah.
Really cool. Tell me a little bit of influence about that song and what inspired it.
Yeah, Baby It's Me. I would say, you know, it's funny because the person I wrote it with, we definitely had a thing at the time. So I think, actually, we didn't have a thing. And so, honestly, it's almost like the song became a self-fulfilling prophecy because I didn't know that he liked me at the time and I had a boyfriend. And then after I was single, like, he was kind of like, oh, that's how I was feeling. And then it became this whole weird situation. And then it became how I felt about him because he kind of was rejecting me. So it became this whole like self-fulfilling prophecy for both of us before it actually happened. And like could relate to the song. Like, it's funny how you write a song and it hasn't happened yet. And then it becomes true. And then you can relate to your song like a year later. That's happened to me as well. Even Pretty Penny, the song I put out as well. I'm like, oh, like, this is how I feel right now. Anyway, so. Well,
like, life is art. Life imitates art. Art imitates life. That's, like, the name of the game, which is what makes it awesome, though. You know what I mean? It's like, you can write something, and then it won't come to fruition, and then it does, and then it's like, oh, man, this is why it happened. And I love the influences. Like, tell me, you're very influenced by pop music. I can hear a little bit of Taylor Swift. I can hear, like, tell me some other influences. Maybe The Weeknd, some other people. Who are your biggest influences as a pop songwriter?
Oh my god, yeah. I mean, I love The Weeknd. Even like, I do like Ariana Grande stuff, Camila Cabello. I've been really enjoying Sabrina Carpenter's new stuff. To be honest with you, like, even Espresso. That's like a song.
I saw her at Coachella, and she was very good. I was very impressed. Are you there? Did we lose you? Did we lose you?
I'm here.
Just saw her at Coachella, and she was awesome. It was really.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I was like, this girl's like gonna be like the next Taylor Swift, and then she's opening for Taylor Swift, and so I'm like, oh, this makes sense. This is totally perfect. How did you hear about her, by the way?
You know, I knew of her before seeing Taylor Swift live, but then I saw she was opening up for Taylor Swift, and it's funny. I'm pretty sure now she's playing those same arenas as the main artists. Like, I think, like, SoFi and stuff, like, Crypto Arena, definitely big stages. So, yeah, I mean, she deserves it. She's really cute. She's got a great voice, great songs. She does, like, I'm a fan of her, like, for sure. Like, it's funny, the other girl who's opening up for Taylor Swift, I don't even know her name, but, like, her career hasn't taken off in the same way Sabrina Carpenter's has. And Sabrina just seems like to have such a great team. Or, like, they've planned it around, you know, off the back of the Taylor stuff, like, you know, such an amazing bunch of singles and really good songs. Like, that song Espresso, like, it's just so smart. Like, the idea of, like, I'm Espresso, like, I'll keep you up, like, you'll be addicted to me. Like, it's just such a great song. And it's funny because you know, Cara Connolly, she has a friend called Teddy Gold, and Teddy has a song out, a song called, I think, Helium Balloon, that came out last year, and it's using the same sample as Espresso. And so, I had to listen to it. I'm like, oh my god, it's the exact same backing track because it's a sample from Splice. Exactly. And so, it just shows you what you can do with the same item. But yeah, like, of course, Sabrina has a massive label behind her and like millions of dollars marketing, and it's just different. But yeah, it was just really fascinating. But I just honestly, that's my favorite song right now. It's my most played song.
And I love Espresso. So I think John Mayer played it on his Sirius channel, and that's how I heard it. And I was like, oh, awesome. So it's just like, she's just like, I think she's gonna break. I mean, she's already breaking, but I mean, she's gonna break just like Taylor in the same ways, you know what I mean? So and I do love that song because it's like, it is clever. But your song is super happening. When did you release the one we just played? Are you there? Did we lose you?
Oh my god, it keeps cutting out. I might need to.
It's probably because of the internet connection, but it's all right. It's all right. No worries. We'll make it work. We'll make it work.
Through. Yeah, I feel like the heat doesn't help. It's like cutting out all the internet. It's all frying. It's frying everything, including my brain. But it came out, I think, mid last year.
That's awesome. And when you perform it live, do you play it acoustic or do you have like a backing track? Like, how does that work?
You know, ironically, I haven't performed much live since I've released that because I got nodules. I finally came to terms with the fact I had nodules. I think I had nodules before I admitted I had nodules. But yeah, I mean, if it was just me acoustically, Although it's not the funnest song to sing acoustic because it is kind of monotone. It's kind of like one note.
Right.
So I haven't, I'd have to really play around with it acoustically to do it in an entertaining way. I think, like, you know, do different octaves or maybe change the key so, like, it's a little higher in my register and I can do more ad-libs and stuff. But, yeah, I haven't really got around to that. But I did do it live with a full band with tracks, and that worked pretty good. Although it was meant to work good, it was at the Mint, and unfortunately the volume was so low they the audience couldn't hear it. So for that track, which has kind of taught me if I use tracks to always do a paid sound check because anything can go wrong. It was a little frustrating, but so I have done it live once, yes.
And it's also the Mint. The Mint is unpredictable just on its own.
I know.
That's how it is. This is welcome to the music business. It's like one, you know, it's funny. We just did Chicago and Milwaukee, and you know, there was a new bass player playing with us, and my guitarist was like, we played like this punk club. It was like a rock club in Chicago. And he's like, tomorrow we're playing this huge festival, big stage, national acts, and he's like, tonight you're playing a punk rock club. It's just a total dichotomy in one, you know, 2-day tour of just seeing. And I'm like, welcome to the music business. This is how it is. One day you're playing a small club, the next day you're playing an arena, the next day you're playing a casino, the next day you're playing a college. It's just like, I've done all of the above, and that's just how it is. But let's play something else. What do you want to play us next? Oh, did we lose you? Emily, you there? Uh-oh, we may have lost Emily. Well, let's play the second song that Emily sent us. Sam, let's play the second song. Let's see if she's coming back. Oh, she's back. All right.
You know what? I think my phone's overheating. That's what's going on right now.
Okay. All right.
I just took away the backing. Hopefully that helps. Sorry about that.
Well, no worries. We're going to play the second song, and that way it'll buy you some time to figure it out just in case. But yes. We're going to play the second song that Emily sent us. Here it comes.
Perfect.
I see you glancing at me sideways. Boy, you gotta get to know me. I like to push you to your knees. Bring back to your feet. I see you walking over towards me. Boy, you better keep moving. You put your hand up on my leg. You still haven't figured me out.
Don't need a boy, I need a man.
You wanna?
Who picks his mess off the floor?
I need
a man who opens car doors.
And sweeps me off of my feet. Want a boy?
That only calls me late. Hell, I wanna miss the good day. If you can treat the litter right, I'm not gonna keep you around.
There's a boy who never learned to kiss, and the guys who couldn't handle this. If you can take me downtown, I might spit you out.
Don't need a boy, I need a man.
He
picks his mask off the floor. A man that opens car doors.
Yeah.
All right. Emily, you there?
I am here. Hello. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. We can't see you, though. I don't know if you have your camera on.
I'm here. I'm awesome. Alive and well.
So tell me what that song was about. Obviously, you needing a man instead of a boy. So it came from some wrong turns in the dating world that you made, I'm sure.
Oh, man. You know, that song was such a silly song. Like, what was I going to say? I wrote it when I was in Arizona because I was shooting a film that isn't out yet. It's called The Crossroads. So hopefully it comes out soon.
Awesome. I just released a record called Crossroads.
No way!
Yeah.
That's a coincidence.
Last year, blues record. So very cool. Good coincidence.
Awesome. I mean, I'm like, you're such an amazing musician, and like when I saw you at Hotel Cafe, I was like, oh my god, you're so great. So are you.
I looked at your links, and I was like, oh my god, this girl, she's got some pipes and she can write. I mean, that's like everything. You play, you write, you sing. That's the thing. You know what I mean? You got the trifecta, so you'll go far. I know it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, honestly, I felt like I was building up momentum last year, but then I had to kind of put it on hold. But in a weird way, like, a year is nothing in the grand scheme of things, but it just made me so much more grateful to be a musician and to be able to sing. Like, I sung three songs tonight at a coffee shop I play at called Republic of Pie, and it...
I love that place. I love that.
Oh, you know that place? Yeah.
Yeah, I played there.
Nice. And it's like, oh, so did you say you've played there?
Yeah, I played there maybe 5 years ago, and I was like kind of demoing piano tunes for our new record. I was like, oh, I want to do this. And was it Joy Grayson? Was it her showcase by chance? Whose showcase was it?
Honestly, you kind of do your own showcase. You kind of do like an hour by yourself. Although I've just been doing three songs at the end just because I'm still, you know, rebuilding my voice. But what was I going to say? I can't even remember where we were going with that story.
You just did three songs at Republic of Pie.
Yeah. So just like rebuilding my voice. But yeah, just in terms of getting back on track with my own gigging stuff, I'm really excited to start doing that coming up. But it is a slow journey because now I kind of have a clear scan with my voice, which is great. But I have to build up my voice slowly. And it's like I kind of need to focus on whether I'm going to write, record, as opposed to gig, so I'm not overusing my voice.
Right.
So just like in terms of, say, the battery life of my voice, I have a certain amount per day or per week I can use. So I just have to be wary of not exhausting my voice and also building up what my battery can hold every day. So,
you know what? An underestimated thing that people do that I know when I'm on the road, I have to limit some of it is talking. It's so weird. You realize like, and you're usually not talking on the breath because it's just not what people do naturally. And talking is like one of the things that is the most destructive. So it may not be even singing what did it. It could have been talking and singing what it was the reason, you know, but people don't realize that the talking factor is huge. Like it's tough. We're the instrument because the instrument's in here. You know what I mean? So it's like everything's about how you take care of yourself and your body reacts to, you know, any tension and in the wrong ways. So yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
I had to be like put on the brakes real quick. How long were you kind of like out of commission?
Yeah, honestly, almost a year.
Wow.
Yeah, since I stopped gigging. So it's been such a journey. I think like I used to do a 4-hour gig. I used to do a call on the way. I used to call someone on the way home. And that means I'm just, you know, exhausting my voice and just, I would burn out and I used to push my body and I used to go, oh, my body can handle it. But it's like, yeah, maybe my body can, but my voice can't. And that's part of my body. So I now work with my body as opposed to like flogging a horse till it dies. That's kind of what I did. I was flogging my voice like the whole time.
Yeah, come on.
So, yeah. I'm like, what are you doing? Until it literally dropped dead or not dead, but like, it's like, mom, don't, you know,
right.
Don't flog me anymore. And I had to listen when it just, like, my horse couldn't walk anymore, pretty much.
Was it hurting? Did it hurt physically? Or did you just feel like, because, like, some people find it, like, you know, it's like a polyp or a growth on the vocal cord.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say that they hear a popping sound in their vocal cord.
Oh, God, that sounds terrible.
People say it just feels, you can feel, like, a little lump. What was the kind of physical experience that you went through?
I mean, it was a gradual thing, but pretty much I lost the top part of my register. That was big. That's when I really had to go, oh my God, like something is wrong. And that was for like 2 or 3 months, so maybe like a month. And I was like, I just have to push through this Chris Isaak gig. And then I just pretty much saw my coach, saw the ENT. They're like, yeah, you have nodules. You need to stop. And I was looking at a scan of my voice then and now, and I just felt so sad. My voice looked stressed. It looked upset. It looked aggravated. And now my voice looks healthy. It looks happy. I can feel the energy from the picture of my vocal cords, and it looks happy. And I don't know. I feel happy, and I feel rested and chilled. I think I approach my life in a different way than I did a year ago, and I'm happier now.
So. Yeah, it's like you have to recenter, and it's just part of it. It the other thing too, it's like, and I've learned this. Just this is especially when I'm on the road. It's like, you know, our musician hours are like, they're late. So it's like you do a performance and you want to go out and eat late night or something like that, and it's like, that is not good. None of that is good for if you have to do performances or just even recordings or whatever it is. So it's tough. It's like, sleep is so important. How you sleep is important. What you eat, what you drink, when you eat, when you drink, all those things, exercise, all of those things. So I'm sorry you went through that, but it's great to see that you're recovering from it and you're on the look it up. Now you're on the level to ascension. Let's play.
I hope so.
I want to play On and On because we have it up.
Okay.
Now.
Perfect. So
we're going to play this right now. Here's On and On by Emily Coop.
Cold hotel room, suitcase back to where. Feel your presence next to me, wishing me to stay. Staring at my empty phone, no message to reply. You kissed me softly yesterday as I say goodbye. Thank you.
That was awesome. Emily, I sent Sam the lyric video instead of the music video. My mistake. It said official lyric video. So I sent the wrong. I didn't send the music video. I sent the lyric video instead. But.
Oh, no worries. Tricky is better.
What a great song. Tell us a little bit about the inspiration behind it. And I think you wrote this with Curtis Peoples. I know Curtis Peoples.
Oh, you do?
He's good peoples.
He is good peoples. How do you know him?
From the songwriter scene for years. He used to play Hotel Cafe. And yeah. I want to say he played with a lot of people I know from you. I went to USC Music School. So he played with a lot of people I know from USC Music School. I want to say he may have even gone there, but I don't know if he went there. But great songwriter, great dude. Really cool cat.
He is. Super sweet guy. I think he's married and has a kid now.
Really?
Yeah.
Time flies. That's nuts.
I know. Yeah. I mean, we wrote this song a couple years ago. And I mean, to be honest, it wasn't about a specific situation. We were just kind of writing about like a scenario in life, how I felt about, like, I guess it's like being a songwriter or being an artist, and like not like the feeling of following your dreams, but also being torn away from like who you love being with, like your loved ones. But this song like is a romantic song. So like, yeah, you could be on tour, shooting a film, doing a TV series away from your boyfriend, girlfriend, but like, so it's great. You're chasing your dreams, but you're missing out on that. So it's kind of like, you have to make sacrifices to follow your dreams sometimes. So in this song, it talks about kind of giving that up, and, or not giving it up, but just keeping that door open. Like either in this story, she goes home and spends time with the boyfriend that comes back, or she actually goes home and like gives up the whole tour to be with her boyfriend. In real life, I think it's a compromise. I think you should put your career. I mean, I have kids. I'm not married. If I was married, maybe it'd be different or whatever, but like, I think at this point in my life, career should come first, but then you would just find a compromise. Like, okay, I would, you know, fly the person I'm with, like bring them with me, or, you know, see them every couple weeks. Like, I think you would make that work.
I'm like the old guy on the touring circuit. So I'm going to give you the best advice that I could ever give you.
Ooh, what is this?
Because like, I've, you know, like the people that really want you to succeed and follow your dreams will still be in your life. I've missed one of my closest friends' weddings. I've missed three friends, really close friends' weddings, because I was playing a big music festival. And it was like, I was like, I have to do this. They know me and they know I have to do this. And those friendships are still intact. And there's some friendships that they just wane away because maybe it's like they're upset that you couldn't be there for them. But it's like, at the end of the day, you got to follow and do what's best for you. And be as grateful for any opportunities, and also just have some sense of friendships will be there and feed them as much as you can. Like, feed the friendships as much as you can, because there's sometimes it's going to work and sometimes it's not going to work. Relationships too. It's like, there have been girlfriends that I haven't been around for because you're on the road and you're not around, and you're just, you know, but music is everything to me. So it's like, there is no sacrifice. That is number one. And it's like the intro course. It's like, okay, we're going to do this. This is always number one, no matter what. And it doesn't matter if you have something or not. It's just always the thing. It's like, this is what I do. And it's always been here for me. And people aren't always going to be there for you. It's just how it is. Music has always been there for me. So that's like how I honor that. But it's tough. It's very tough, especially, I mean, you're maybe not at the phase where bunch of your friends are getting married and you have to make those decisions, but you will have to make those decisions. And I've had to make them. And sometimes the opportunity doesn't even merit missing that person's wedding, but you have to do that because that's furthering your career. And it's just so difficult. So the best advice I can give is like know that you have to do that. And the friendships that will love and support you no matter what will still be there. And some may not be. And that's just a part of life. You know what I mean? It's hard.
I think in LA, people get it more because everybody's in the same boat. They probably would do the same thing. Everyone has to kind of protect themselves. Not that it's a selfish thing. Like, I was invited to a couple friends shows or like whatever. And I'm like, I need to earn money. I'm going to go to work. So like, I'm putting myself first to protect myself. Although, if it was, like, one of my best friends, I probably would take time off. It just depends on, like, is this person worth losing $300 for? You know, when money is a thing, you know? So, it's... Because if I took time off every friend who asked me to go to a show, I would be broke. Because it's, like, every weekend you're invited to something. Right. So I'll maybe buy a ticket and support, or, like, I'll promote the show. But, like, I have to look after my own shit. And... Yeah, and with the music thing, I think it depends. Like, if I have kids or, like, married, and, like, that is the most important thing in my life, then that priority might change. But I think it's always a compromise. Like, it depends on what the opportunity is. If it's a mint show, I might move it. But if it's a music festival like Coachella, probably, you know, you probably have to do Coachella, because that's, like, a once in a lifetime
type and this situation. This particular one was Bonnaroo. It was three. Okay. Summerfest twice and Bonnaroo once. And it was like, and I remember when my friend, we were playing the House of Blues, and one of my best friends was like, hey, man, we got a wedding date. It's June 15th. And I was like, you're joking. Like, that's the one date that I can't do it, because
yeah,
in Tennessee. And he was like, well, that's all right. Don't worry about it. And he was so cool about it. But it's like, those things are going to happen more and more. But just follow your bliss. That's all you can do. And you are exceptionally talented, and you're going to have that crossroads many times. Where can people find you online if they want to find your music and find you?
Yeah, so I'm on all the usual platforms, like YouTube, Instagram. I'm on TikTok a little bit, mostly Instagram. I have a newsletter, my website. It's all like connected. So yeah, that's kind of my the main places you can find me right now. And I'm sure it's some gigs coming up soon when I, you know, train, work out my voice a bit more, you know.
Yeah, work it out.
Yeah, exactly.
And then when's your movie coming out?
I don't know. The last I heard was it was either being sold, or like, they kind of keep it hush hush, I think, just to kind of not get our hopes up. But it is a very slow process. Like, it took them a year or two to edit it, and it's another 2 or 3 years to find the right marketing team and this specific movie. So that one, as soon as it comes out, I'll be promoting the crap out of it, I'm sure, like, once it's available. But just taking a long time, and, you know, they trusted me and this other guy as a lead, and I think our acting was really good, but it's just, we're not star names, and I think that makes it harder to sell the film, you know, to be honest with you. So I think maybe they're having issues with that, but the film itself's really good. So I'm hoping...
That's also how you break somebody. That's like, I want the industry to do more of that, because that's how... You know, the big stars become big stars. So hopefully it'll do that for you. And it sounds like you're going to have music lined up with a movie release. I mean, you're living the Hollywood dream. That's what it's all about right there.
Yeah, I feel so grateful for everything in my life. And I think it's the whole thing of feeling blessed for what we have now while reaching for the future. It's a balance. You can't live too much in the future and not be in reality, or live in reality that you don't dream. So you have to, like, do a bit of both, I think.
Right. And where can people find you? Do you have, like, a website or anything like that? Or is it Instagram is your main thing? What's your website?
Yeah. My website is just my name, www.emilycoupe.com. And yeah, pretty much if you go there, all my links are there. So it's like a one-stop shop for everything you would want to know.
Well, Emily, you've been a wonderful guest on Wake Up Hollywood. We want to have you back. Probably about 9 or 10 months. So remember the songs that you played, and we'll have you back, and we'll just keep following your story. And we're excited to see what new songs and new movies are going to come out with you in it. So we're excited for this. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me on here. Like,
it's of course.
Great. Yeah, I love it.
High fives all around. Sam's got high fives going too. On behalf of Emily, myself, and Sam, we'll see you guys next week. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Peace and love.
Listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kalula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.